Okay, today's daf is Beitza daf Lamed Gimel. We are holding on daf Lamed Beis and Beis at the very bottom. We're going to discuss the difference between Shvisas Kedera and Beis Akisei, setting up different structures by using kelim. The Gemara is going to talk about on Amud Aleph using wood for something other than fuel, for something other than a fire, and whether that's going to be an issue of muksa or not. For instance, using wood for a spit, if it's a sharp piece of wood, or for a poker for a fire. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about gathering wood for fire, or maybe even just picking off a piece of wood to use as a toothpick. And the Mishnah is also going to talk about making a fire on Yantif. What the Gemara is going to explain on the bottom of Amud Beis, what the Isser is with making a fire on Yantif. On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about a little bit about Tikkun Mana and different things that might be asr mishum tikkun mana, specifically whether ochle behema, whether something that's edible for an animal to eat, would ever be subject to tikkun mana. And the Gemara is going to spend most of the amud talking about cutting atzei besamim to smell. Are you allowed to cut it on yantiv in order to be molded recha, in order to get the smell, to enjoy the smell from atzei besamim? And the daf is going to conclude with an explanation of the machlokas about in the Mishnah about gathering wood, what the machlokas is about, why some would asr and some would be matir gathering wood in a chatzer and piling the wood up. So we left off on daf lamed beis on beis. We are at the two dots about 7-8 lines before the end of the page. Ve'in makifin shtei chavios. We said you're not allowed to put two barrels next to each other and put a pot on top in between those two barrels. So Amar Rav Nachman, and the reason is because you're making an ohel, that you're creating a structure. So Amar Rav Nachman, avanim shel beis akisei mutul letzadidan biyom tov. The stones that they would use to build a makeshift toilet, a beis akisei, that you're allowed to do on yom tov. Say, Svei Rabbi L'Rav Nachman, Rabbi asked Rav Nachman, wait a second, why are you allowed to do that on yom tov? Why are you allowed to build this makeshift beis akisei? Ein makivin shtei chavios lishposalei nesakadeira. But doesn't it say that you're not allowed to put two barrels next to each other in order to put a pot on top of those two barrels? So you see that it is a problem to make some sort of makeshift ohel. So amalei shiny hasa mishum tuka avidala. So that's the difference. You're allowed to make a makeshift structure. You're not allowed to make a makeshift ohel. Ohel means that there's something on top. The avanim shel beis akisei are two stones that you put next to each other and you leave a space in between them. There's no ohel. But over here, you're making a gag. You're making an actual ohel, and that's going to be problematic. Amar le Rabba Zuta, the Ravashi, Elameata bana itztava biyomtov. So he says, if that's the case, if someone were to build an itztava, which is some type of seat, normally we would translate itztava as a platform. Rashi over here says it's a kisei shel binyan levenim vitit. It's a chair that they would make out of bricks and cement. So if a person builds an itztava on yomtov to lo avid Allah hachinami deshari, he's not making an ol. So would you say that it's mutter because there's no ol? He's making a structure, but there's no ol. Amrle hasam binyan keva asr Torah, binyan arai, lo asra Torah, v'gazra rabbanan al binyan arai mishum binyan keva, v'hach mishum kvodo lo gazra b'rabbanan. Typically speaking, a binyan keva, the Torah asrit, something that's a more permanent type of structure, the Torah asrit. A binyan arai, something that's only temporary, the Torah would make, the chachamim would make a gezerah on a binyan arai atu binyan keva, that would be within the rules of what rabbanan would be gozer, but by the Beis Akisei, for a binyan arai, they decided not to be gozer, meaning an ohel arai is usher to make. A binyan arai might be usher to a binyan keva, but when you're dealing with a kavod abrios issue, a person needs a beis akisei, we're not going to asr the binyan arai atu the binyan keva. So Rav Zilberstein Chashuk Echemed discusses the question, what if you have a broken umbrella that in the middle piece that holds up all the sides is broken? Can you hold up the sides with your hand and act as the middle piece that holds up all the sides? Would that be mutter to use on Shabbos or Yantif? So he says that there was once it was raining by the Kotel once, and they wanted a lane outside for whatever reason. There was a big crowd there, whatever it was. They wanted a lane outside, but they didn't want the Torah to get ruined from the rain. So they had a bunch of people standing on the side holding a talis to protect the Sefer Torah from the rain, so that it wouldn't get ruined. So they asked Rav Eliashiv if that's mutter to do. After all, it's an ohel arai. You're protecting them. They're making a talis specifically to serve as an ohel. So Rav Rav Eliyashiv said that whenever you have people holding it up, where if the people would walk away, the whole ohel would fall to the ground, that's not an iser. That's not called making an iser. The talisos mitzad atzmam can't stand on their own at all. So if you would leave them, they would just fall to the ground. There's no iser whatsoever. The Chazon Ish in Siman Nun Beis writes this same yisod, and Shmir Shabbos Kilchus, he quotes from Shlomo Zalman, that even though that's true, an umbrella that is mutzah the Shabbos, if you have to, an umbrella is still mutzah, even though you have to hold it the whole time. I mean, one could have argued any umbrella should be mutzah then, because an umbrella is only going to work as long as the person's holding it. You let go of the umbrella, it falls to the ground. So if Shlomo Zalman is quoting Shmir Shabbos Kilchus, then no, that an umbrella is going to be aser, because the umbrella is an ohel mitzad atzma. It's different than a talis. A talis is something that you use as clothing, and you happen to, once in a while, if you need it for protection, you'll hold it up over your head. But an umbrella is made dafka to be used as an ohel. So even though it only works as an ohel while you're holding it, but since it's dafka made to be used as an ohel, it's usher to open up an umbrella. So Rav Zilberstein writes that maybe in this shayla, hamitriya shvura sha'aleh anachnu danim, this broken umbrella doesn't have any is not itself an ohel, and because as soon as a person lets go of it, it falls away, it falls down, and it's the whole thing doesn't work, and so he argues that maybe this is better than a regular umbrella which is working and is stands to function as Noel. But he says the real issue over here is a muktzah issue. A broken umbrella, normally what do you do with? You throw away. Okay, a person is desperate and his umbrella is broken, so he'll hold it up like that, but it could be that it's a muktzah issue, because typically you would throw it away, you wouldn't want to have any use for it anyway. Okay, so says the Gemara further now, in the bottom line of Daflam Beis and Beis, Amrav Yuda, Haima Durta, if a person is making a bonfire, so they're building up the wood to create the fuel for the bonfire, Milamala Lamata Shari, you're allowed to build it working from up down, which is not the normal way to build the fire. Normally you would have to build the base first and then build on top of it, but you're allowed to go backwards. You're allowed to build the top and then work your way down. Milamata Lamala Asr, but to go in the normal direction is going to be Asr to do. V'chein be'asa, and it's not just when it comes to building a bonfire. When you're setting up eggs, Rashi says beitzim gasos and as soon as al pi kli chalul ken tripod. You're setting up eggs on a tripod. So also you have to go milamal lamata. First you put the egg on the top and you hold it there, and then you put the tripod underneath it, or you set up whatever's going to hold it and support it underneath it. V'chein kedera, and also if you want to support a kedera, a pot, you don't put that which is going to support the pot first and then put the pot on top. You hold the pot on top and then slip underneath it whatever it is that you're going to use to support it. That's enough of a shinoi. V'chein puria, and the same is true if you're building a bed. V'chein chavisa, and the same is true when a person is making a barrel. When a person is setting up a barrel, also you have to do it even when you're storing it and you're putting one on top of two other barrels. You have to put the one, hold up the one high first, and then slip the two other ones underneath it. Tosus points out, what's the issue over here? Meaning, lamata lamala asr and lambez and base. So it says, mishum davi derech binyan. Because it's the derech binyan, the chein avi time to kulon. All of these things, it's considered to be similar to bona, because that's the way a person normally builds things. You start at the ground, and then you build your way up. So we have to do it in a way that's not derech binyan. So Frak tells us, Vim Tomer, Hechi Mesadrin Shulchan, Shein Lo Raglayim, Al Gabi Safsalim Shalo, Dimitchilim Masimina Safsalim, Vachkach Masimina Lemes Shulchan. He says, it's Maisim Bechol Yom. People set up a table on Raglayim, on legs, and they put the legs there first, and then they put the tabletop down on top of the legs. How is that mutter? Isn't it derech binyan? So he says, Yishlomer, the whole Ve'in Le Mechitzos Shari. Since there's no Mechitzos to the table, the legs are just sticks. They're not mechitzos. They're not actual walls. It's going to be mutter. V'kolhani mayri dislu mechitzos tzadim ha-megiyos la'aretz. Every case we had in our Gemara is where the things on the side are actual mechitzos. But Frak tells us v'tema da'amar b'shabbos machzirin kedera al gabe kira v'asam kamar mandi islay machzirin da'afilu b'shabbos machzirin. But it says in Mesach Shabbos that you're allowed to put the pot back on the stovetop. So isn't that an issue where there are mechitzos and you're still setting it up where the bottom is set up first. Tos says an important yesod, that this whole Gemara is only when you're making both the ohel and the mechitzos. If the mechitzos are already in place, you're then allowed to put the ohel there if you didn't make those mechitzos on Shabbos. So the case of putting the kedera on the kira is no problem. The kira was already there. You're just putting the kedera on top of the kira. But if you are making the mechitzos, you're setting up everything to begin with, so then it's going to be aser. A little bit further in Tosfos, Tosfos says, okay, so what are we paskin like over here? So Tosfos writes on the on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph in the last wide line, Pirush Rashi to Rav Yehuda da says Rashi writes, this is only a problem if the old Davar Shein Miskavin is Asr, because no one's intending to try to make a binyan over here. The whole thing is Mishum Bona. Who's building anything over here? So this is not at all an issue of binyan. So if your old Davar Shein Miskavin is Mutter, but then Tos says, V'dochik Hulomar, Dekol Hani Milsa Delok Rabbi Shimon. Very dochak to say that all of these things that we're saying now are against the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Elanir Lomar Dafil Rabbi Shimon Moda, Dahav Yahacha Aser. Even Rabbi Shimon would agree that in this case it's Aser. Now, this is sounds like a Yesodistic thing Tosos is about to tell us about the sheet of Rabbi Shimon that a Davar Shein Miskavin is Mutter. He says, Dahadam Rabbi Shimon, Davar Shein Miskavin Mutter, Hainu Kugon Sha Ose Davar Shein Miskavin La Aso So. That's when you're doing something that you don't intend to do, but something is happening from your actions that you're not even thinking about, that that's what you're doing. But over here, you're trying to set up a tripod. You're trying to set up a structure like that. You're not doing it mishum binyan. You're doing it because you want to cook the pot, you want to do it, but you know exactly what you're doing. When you're trying to get dirt, so you grab some dirt out of the ground, you're not thinking about the hole that you're making. You don't even realize that that's what you're doing. If you're dragging a bench along the ground and someone asks you, what are you doing? You're not going to say, oh, I'm digging a hole in this ground. No one's going to, no one would even think that's what they're doing, even though that might be what they're doing. That's a Davar Shein Miskavein. But over here, I'm setting up this structure. Why am I setting up the structure? It's got nothing to do with this. I don't care about the binyan aspect of it. I don't care that it's a beautiful structure. I care about the practical benefit that I'm getting from it, but still I realize what I'm doing. So it's a dakas de kachilik, but Tosfos is making in what Davar Shein Miskavein actually is, according to Rabbi Shimon. So vayta l'gmar vein somchenes akadera bebekas, we can't support a pot with wood, v'chein bedelas, and also with a door. So bedelas al kadaitach, you're going to support a pot with a door. The doors were very flimsy back then. There's no way it would support a pot anyway. So ela'ema v'chein hadelas. No, we don't mean that you also can't support a pot with a door. We mean you also can't support a door with a bikas. That's v'chein hadelas or v'chein bedelas is going on the kedera, that just like you, whatever you can't do with the kedera, you also can't do with the door. Tanu Rabbanan, ein somchenes kedera bebikas v'chein hadelas, l'fishlonin u'etzim elala asaka. The reason you're not allowed to use this piece of wood to support a pot or to support a door is because wood is primarily supposed to be used for firewood. So to use it for anything else other than firewood is questionable. Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon says it's no problem, you're allowed to use it for things other than firewood. He's not concerned with mukta, that it's going to be a violation of mukta. Ve'ein manhiganes abhema v'makal b'yamtov, you're not allowed to lead an animal with a stick on yamtov. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon Matir. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon says, yes, you are. So, Lema, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, Kavua Sfirulei, Delasei Muktzah. Why does Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon think you're allowed to take the stick and lead an animal with it? It must be that he doesn't hold of Muktzah, that he holds like Rabbi Shimon, who has a very, very limited definition of Muktzah. So, it says, Lo, Baha, Afilu Rabbi Shimon Moda. No, it could be that by that machlokas, even Rabbi Shimon would hold that it's aser, meaning that Rabbi Shimon would not agree to what Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon is saying. When Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon says, yeah, it's okay to lead an animal with a stick, it could be that even Rabbi Shimon, who has a limited view of muksa, would say that it's aser to lead an animal with a stick. Why? The mechzi kamanda azir l'changa. Because it looks like you're taking the animal, when you're leading the animal with a stick, it looks like you're taking it out to the market, and that's the problem. It's not a muksa problem, it's a problem of making it look like you're doing business on a weekday. So it could be that Rav Lazar Rav Shimon is not really going b'shitas Rabbi Shimon, or better yet, he may be going b'shitas Rabbi Shimon that he doesn't know the muktza, but it doesn't necessarily mean that Rabbi Shimon, his father, would agree to him. Rabbi Shimon might still say that it's going to be aser. Chazra. So Chazra, Rashi says, is a branch of wood which is very sharp. So normally when you want to roast something on a spit, you'll take a metal spit. But if you have a very sharp piece of wood, so that would be something that you can use as a spit. So if you find that you have a sharp branch, Rav Nachman Asar, Rav Shesha Shari. Rav Nachman says you're not allowed to use it on Yantif because it's mukta to be metaltalit, because it wasn't made into a spit mibod yom. You just happen to have this branch and you're looking at it and you say, oh, that's sharp enough, I could use that as a spit. So Rav Nachman says that's Asar to use. It wasn't designated as a kli. It wasn't designated as something that could be used as a spit miba odyom. But Rav Sheshes Shari, Rav Sheshes holds its mutter. So Biritiva Kuliyamulo Pligi Da Aser. Everyone would agree that if it were still moist, so you wouldn't even be able to be metaltalid for the sake of firewood. You wouldn't even be able to use it for firewood because it's wet. So then everyone would agree that it's Aser because it has no use on Yantif. There was nothing that it was muchan for on Yantif. So everyone would agree in that case that it's Aser. Ki Pligi Bi Abeshta. They argue only if it's dry. So Mandi Asar Amrlach Lo Nitnu Eitzim El Lasaka. The one that says that it's Asar will say that the firewood is allowed to be used for firewood, but it's not allowed to be used for anything else. So since it's a piece of wood that was supposed to be used for firewood, you cannot use it for anything else. It's Mukta. Umandi Shari Amrlach Mali Litzels Bo Mali Litzels Begachalto. And the one that says that it's Mutter would say, well, you're allowed to use it as firewood, right? You're allowed to use it as coals for the fire. What difference does it make whether you roast on it or you roast over it? Does it really matter? Either way, you're using it in the process of cooking, using it as wood that's going to help in the process of cooking. Ikada Amri, others say, not biyabeshta kuliyam lo pligi dishari. If it were dry, everyone would agree that it's mutter. Ki pligi biritivasa, the whole machlokas, is only if it's wet, if it's moist. So mandi aser, the one that says that it's aser, to lo chazi lasaka, that if it's moist, it's not usable as firewood, and therefore it's totally mukta. Umandi shari, but the one that says that it's mutter says, who says moist branches aren't usable as firewood? Amrlach, ha chazi lasagadol, you could use it for a very large fire. If you're making a small fire, say in a chinami, a moist piece of wood is not going to help you much. But if you're making a very large fire, you could throw a moist piece of wood in there and it will dry up very quickly and it will still fuel the fire. V'hilchsa yabeshta shari ritivasa aser. The halacha is that if it's dry, it's mutter. If it's moist, it's aser. Now, if you look at Rashi writes, hach hilchsa liba demandi islay mukta ikva. This hilchsa only applies if you hold of the more expanded version of mukta. Aval anan Rabbi Shimon Sfirulan, but we happen to hold like Rabbi Shimon, bein b'muktzah, both by the halachas of muktzah, where we've been going over this machlokas 1,000 times, Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Shimon, about how expansive a definition of muktzah we have. So we hold like Rabbi Shimon in terms of the more limited definition of muktzah, bein b'davar sheinu miskaven, and we hold like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to davar sheinu miskaven, that davar sheinu miskaven is mutter. Ukrabi Yehuda b'makshiri yachol nefesh, and by the way, we hold like Rabbi Yehuda with regard to makshiri yachol nefesh. So we hold the best, Rashi says. We hold in a way that's going to make life the easiest for us. V'kulu shari, so everything's mutter. Bein chazra, bein smichas kederos, v'akafas chavios, umadurta, v'kedera, all the different topics that we've discussed so far today, they're all going to be mutter. V'kol amram sha'asra se'elu l'mala, tamidei derav havu. Everyone that said all these things are aser, all the amarayim that we've been discussing until this point, they're all students of Rav. V'rav savar l'krab yudu b'muksa, v'anan kaimel l'krab yishimin. Rav happens to hold l'krab yudu b'muksa, we hold l'krab yishimin. So this hilchasa shouldn't bother us, says Rashi, because it's only alibet Rabbi Yehuda, and we don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda anyway. Says Tosfos, it's not mistaber that the Gemara would say a hilchasa that we don't hold like. Meaning, if the Gemara says a hilchasa, most mistaber that a hilchasa is something that we actually do hold. If you look at Tosfos, hilchasa yibishashari retiva aser, pirish Rashi, de hilchasa ikva alibet deman de islay muksa velo nitnu eitzim el asaka, avlo anu de kaim lankrab yishimin, shari afilu chaz retiva. Vidocha kulomar de Rabbi Shimon. Difficult to say that Rabbi Shimon would disagree with what the Gemara itself paskins at the end. No, Tos says even Rabbi Shimon would agree to this hilchsa. Granted, Rabbi Shimon holds you're allowed to use wood for non-fire purposes, but it at least has to be ra'ui to be used as firewood. But a moist piece of wood is not even ra'ui to be used as firewood, so it it's like a kolorei labila type of idea, that if it's ra'ui to at least be used for that which you're allowed to use it on yantav, then you can use it for whatever you want. He's not going to hold that it's muksa. But if it's not even ra'ui to be used as firewood, then even Rabbi Shimon would aser, says Tosfos. Good, so that is the halacha. Says the Gemara, Darash Rava, Isha lo tikanis ladira etzim litol mehen ud. A woman should not go into the wood storage area, the woodshed, and take out a piece of wood to use as a poker for a fire, to stoke the coals of a fire. V'ud shenishbar asur la'asiko b'yom tov. If a poker breaks on yantif, you're not allowed to use it for firewood. L'fisha masikim dekelim and masikim shiver kelim. Because you're allowed to use things that are not muktzah for firewood, but something that was a kli and is now broke on yantif, is muktza. So you're not allowed to use it for firewood, since it was designated to be a kli from before yantif. Now it broke on yantif, so by definition it's muktza. Memele, you're not allowed to use it for firewood. So the memra de Rava Kravido Svirle Disle muktza. Wait a second, does Rava hold of muktza? Varmle Rava Lashame Tavili Bar Avza Vashadime El Lashunra. Didn't Rava ask his shamish to roast a goose for him, and he said to him, whatever the B'nai Me'ayim, the intestines, you could throw that to the cat. Well, wait a second, the intestines are muktza, you shouldn't be allowed to touch them or throw them anywhere. If Rava really holds of muktza, how would he be allowed to instruct his shamish to throw the intestines of the cat to a cat? So says Mar Hasam Kivin de Misruchi Me'atmal Daite Lave. No, in that case, since the intestines were already saruach, they're already spoiled and no good from the day before, so he already intended to use them for that purpose, and memela they were not considered to be muktza. So that's why he was allowed to throw them to the cat. But in a chinami, Rava does generally hold of the more expanded version of muktza, of Rabbi Yehuda's definition of muktza. Go to new Mishnah. Rabbi Lazar Omer, bottom of Lam Gimel Amud Aleph. Rabbi Lazar Omer, notel adam kise mishalafanav lachtos boshinav. A person is allowed to take a splinter from something that's right in front of him in the house. I mean, he's not going out to gather. He's not going in the forest to gather. It's right in front of him. He's allowed to take a little splinter and use it as a toothpick. Megaviv min hachatzer umadlik. If he wants firewood, he's even allowed to go out into the chatzer and gather in wood in the chatzer for his fire. Now Rashi points out, when we say that you're allowed to take from right in front of you to use as a toothpick, Rashi says, yeah, it doesn't mean just from right in front of you. You're also allowed to go out into the chatzer and gather wood to use as a toothpick. The reason it says that Dafka Mishalafanov is just to set up the shita of the Rabbanan, who actually hold that there is some sort of din that's only Mishalafanov. But really, Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is, whether you want a toothpick, whether you want to use firewood, you're allowed to go out into your chatzer and gather whatever wood you can gather, that's all fine. Shekol masha b'chatzer muchanhu. Anything that's out in the chatzer is considered muchan, it's not considered muktza, you're allowed to use it. But v'chachamim omrim, megaviv mishalafanav umadlik, that you're allowed to collect wood from that which is in front of you, but not from the chatzer. Only from that which is in your house, but not from the chatzer. That you're not allowed to do. And Rashi says, the Chacham mean to tell us also that when are you allowed to take what's in front of you? If you want to use it lahadlik, if you want to use it to light a fire, but you want to use it for a toothpick, you're not even allowed to take from what's right in front of you. You're not even allowed to take Mishal Afanav. So they're arguing on two things. If you look at Rashi and Dibra Maschal Chacham Momrim, Megav Mishal Afanav Madlik, number one, Avul Menachotzer Lo, Hol Vedakanein Vetorech Lekoshon Meatmal Lav Lachi Kaimi, since it's a big tircha to gather the things from the chatzar, you're not allowed to gather wood from the chatzar even for the sake of making a fire. Udekamrit notel kisim lachlas shinov. And the second issue that you said you're the Tana Rabbi Lazrael, you're allowed to take a toothpick. Anan islandaf mishalafanav lo yitol elo lahadlik. So nitnu elasaka, that you're not allowed to take something from a piece of wood from right in front of you to make a toothpick, from right in your house to make a toothpick. And ubetarti pligi, the Chum and Rabbi Lazrael are arguing about both of these issues. Period. That's one part of the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah says, "Ein motzi'in asa'or lo mina etzim velomina avanim. You're not allowed to take. Actually, before we go on, rather, in the Tosos over here discusses this Rashi. That Rashi is arguing about both of these items, both of these issues. Tosos points out v'tema da mashm perikam motzi. The Gemara in Shabbos daf pei aleph and bay says the dafka katani the bayi hasam avanim that the Gemara assumes that it's dafka katani, meaning that when Rabbi Elazar says you're allowed to take a toothpick mishalifanov, he really does mean only mishalifanov, and that you're not allowed to go out in the chutzer and take a toothpick. How do we know the Gemara assumes that way? Because Debayi Hasan, the Gemara over there asks, Avanim shel beis akise ma'ala losan achrav legat. The Gemara asks if you could take the avanim of a beis akise that you need for a beis akise up to the roof. V'kapashale desharya, and the Gemara says, yeah, it's mutter. So the Gemara over there asks, I bar Rav Elazar amar not aladim kise mishalifanov, that you're only allowed to take a splinter from what's in your house, you know, only from what's in your house, but not in the chatzer. So how are you allowed to take things up to the roof? How are you allowed to take the avanim shel beis akise up to the roof? Isn't that like taking a splinter from the chatzer, and that's aser? So it's asking from Rav Elazar Shita, and it assumes Rav Elazar Shita means dafka milafanov, not like Rashi says over here. So it says Tosas Yeshlomer Deinachinami Devadai dafka ka'amar kidemash mahasam, that the Gemara over there is right, that it's dafka. Even though we say that anything that's in a chatzar is considered to be muchan, meaning Reb Lazar's svara in our Mishnah doesn't seem to fit asering anything, gathering a toothpick from a chatzar. Because what does Reb Lazar say in our Mishnah? The reason you're allowed to gather firewood in a chatzar is because everything in a chatzar is muchan. Well, if everything in a chatzar is muchan, I should be allowed to take a toothpick from there also. So he says, no. Everything in the chatzar is muchan insofar as it helps you eat. But something that's not used for eating, it's not considered muchan. The items in the chatzar are not considered muchan. So a toothpick is not considered eating. But if you're gathering firewood to cook, so then it's considered that everything in the chatzar is muchan. So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi in terms of how to understand Shitas Rabbi Elazar. When Rabbi Elazar says, you're allowed to take a toothpick, mishalafanav, Rashi says, nah, he doesn't really mean mishalafanav, he means even from the chatzar. Tosfos says, no, he means only mishalafanav, and it's enough from the Gemara and Shabbos that he does not mean that you're allowed to take it from the chatzer. Good. Now the second part of the Mishnah. You're not allowed to make a fire on Yontif Meikara. Meaning, if you have an existing fire, for you're allowed to extend the fire. You're allowed to light from one fire to another, but you're not allowed to make a new fire on Yontif in whichever way they taught you how to do in Boy Scouts. None of these ways are mutter. You use rocks, or you use etzim that you rub together, or you use water to make a fire by using the magnifying capability of water by holding up to the sun. And also, you're not supposed to fire up tiles to roast on the tiles on Yantif. At the very end of the daf, we're probably not going to get to it today. The Gemara is going to explain why that's the case. Amar Rav Yehuda. So says Rav Yehuda, whenever you're dealing with animal fodder, it's not a violation of tikkun kli to adjust animal fodder to make it into something that's a usable kli. So esve Rav Kana Rav Yehuda, Rav Kana asked Rav Yehuda, metal tnatze b'sam lariach ben ulahanet ben lechola. You're allowed to take fragrant pieces of wood to smell them and to wave them in front of a sick person to smell umalolom. You could rub them and smell them. To when you rub them, you get the smell out a little bit. But you're not allowed to cut them in order to smell them. If you do cut them, it's pater avalaser. It's also midrabanan. You're not allowed to cut it to use as a toothpick. And if you do cut it, you're chayiv chatas. Now, some atse besamim are edible for animals. And nevertheless, what are we saying over here? That if you cut it to make a nice toothpick out of it, you're chayiv chatas. Why? What did you do? You made a kli. You took something that was Michael Behema, you turned it into a kli, and for that you're chayav chatas. So how can you, Rabbi Yehuda, tell me that you're not allowed, that whenever it comes to something that's a Michael Behema, you're allowed to fashion it into a kli and you don't have to worry? That's not called tikkun mana. Over here we see that atze besamim, fashioning it into a toothpick, is called tikkun mana. So says Mar Amle Hashta Patra Vlasukashli Chayav Chatas Mbay. Says, first of all, compliments on your question. Normally, if if I would say something's mutter, and you'd bring me a brisa that would say it's also midrabanan, that would be a strong question. But you did even better. You brought me a brisa that said chayv chatas, that it's also daraisa. So kudos, great question. But here's the answer. Elikitanya hahi bekashin. He says, when is that brisa talking about? That brisa is talking about hard atze besamim, and because it's hard atze besamim, it's not animal fodder. So if it can't be used as animal food anyway, then it has nothing to do with what I spoke about. Rav Yehuda said something that's usable, that's soft and usable as animal food. That's what he said. You don't have to worry about tikkun mana. But if it's hard, so then you do have to worry about tikkun mana. So it's not a kasha at all for me. So says Mar Kashin b'nei melilinu. What do you mean? It's talking about a hard piece of atzei b'samim. Can you rub a hard piece of atzei b'samim and actually get any smell out of it? How's that going to work? So chesur mechsavachik tani. Now you have to read an extra line into the brisa. This is how it should read. Malo mariachbo. You're allowed to rub it and smell it. Kotmo mariachbo. You could snip it and smell it. Bamedvar mamurim berachin. But those only work. To do that only works when we're talking about a softer piece of atzei besamim. Aval bekashin lo yiktemenu. If you're dealing with a harder piece of atzei besamim, you're not allowed to clip it. Vim katmo pater avalaser, and if you do clip it, it's pater avalaser. Lachzos poshinav lo yiktemenu, you're not allowed to make it into a toothpick either. Vim katmo chayev chatas, and if you cut it into a toothpick, you're chayev chatas. Why? Because it's kashin, because it's hard, it's not usable as animal food, and if it's not usable as animal food, then you have all the normal violations of tikkun mana. Rav Zilberstein discusses chashuk echemet. A guy doesn't have a cup to make kiddush with, but he has a pomegranate. So can he cut open the top of the pomegranate, hollow out the shell, and hollow out the inside, take all the seeds out, and use it as a cup? Is that a violation of tikkun kli on yontif that he's going to make it? He's going to actually use it as a kli. And he says, maybe that's an isra of bona. Also, is it a valid kli to use? You need to use a kli for a cup for kiddush. So would it even be kosher to use for kiddush? And are the two tolis ebizet, meaning the two halachas dependent on each other? So he says, beitz etaf lamin gimelon beis. Ochle behema is not a violation of tikkun kli, and you're allowed to adjust on Shabbos. That's what we pass on Shulchan Aruch, Simshin Chav Beis, Sif Dalid. The Mishnah Brura adds, even if you're makped al amida, it's still not an isra of mechateich because it's a dvar ochel. I mean, even if you're cutting it just to the right size and you're being makped, which is normally mechateich, when you cut things to specific sizes, it's a violation of mechateich. So nevertheless, it's not going to be a violation over here because it's food. And Rav Nissim Karelitz explains in a Sefer Chut Shani that since the chituch is not mevatel the ochel mitoras ochel, it's still the food even after you cut it. So it's not considered like you're using the food at all, and therefore there's no isra to be chotech peros v'yirakos. Let's say sometimes people like to make fancy fruit platters, edible arrangements, or something like that. You want to make it look nice, so you cut the fruit in such a way that it has a design to it, that it has a shape to it. It says it's not called that you're changing it from an ochel. It's still an ochel. So to cut it in a way that it's not mevatel l'shem ochel is going to be totally mutter. But if you're going to cut it in a way that it's misbatel the Torah sachila, like to make something out of the shell of a watermelon or something, where it's going to look nice and it's going to look like a kli, so he says that's probably going to be asir. So what about over here? You're not making a specific tzura out of the rimon, it's just the shape of the rimon. You're not actually shaping it, you're just chopping off the top and hollowing it out. So is that going to be considered that you're making it a kli? Says he's not sure. Maybe that's going to be mutter. So in the ha'aros maseches beitza, or Rabbi Yashiv's ha'aros maseches beitza, over here on this Gemara, they say that they asked Rav Yashiv that we find a lot of place that you have kelim made out of food and it is considered a kli. Maseches Sukkah Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, that the Gemara says ein mematin in vehadas biyomtov because it's masakin mana. You're not allowed to pull off the berries from the hadas. The berries are edible. You're not allowed to pull off the berries from the hadas because it's tikkun mana. You're making a kli out of it. What you're left with at the end after you pull off the food is a kli. And you find Maseches Shabbos Daf Tzadihei Megabein, there's even more than that. When you make cheese, why are you chayv for cheese making on Shabbos? Mishum bona. But that's the whole thing is food. The entire thing is food. Nevertheless, it's still considered to be a violation. So Rav Yashiv explained that you have to say that since it's the derech to be misakin them, it's considered tikkun kli by ochlin as well. But ochlin, that it's not the derech to be misakin l'tzorech kli, food that's not normally turned into a kli, that's going to be mutter. That's still an ochlin, that's going to be mutter. So mele would turn out that there would be mutter to make the kli out of the rimon, because it's not normal to make a rimon into a kli, that's not one of the normal uses of rimon, so it would be mutter in that case to do, and probably would still have a status of a kli, meaning it would still be fine for kiddush. What would take, there's nothing to say that it wouldn't have the status of a kli, it's just that it's not a violation of tikkun mana, because it's still an ochel. So whenever it's still an ochel, it's not a violation of tikkun mana. Okay, so weiter in the Gemara. Tani chada. We have two brises. One brisa says that you're allowed to cut the atzei b'samin to smell it. The other one says you're not allowed to cut the atzei b'samin to smell it. Amar Rabbi Zera Amar Chisa lo kasha. Habirachin habakashin. It's not a stira. If it's the difference is whether it's soft or whether it's hard. Meaning if it's soft, then you're not then you are allowed to, because then it's Michael Behema. And if it's hard, then you're not allowed to. Masar Vach Yaakov b'kashin amay lo. Well, why if it's hard would you not be allowed to? Maishna mehadetnan. As Rashi says, why would you not be allowed to smell from it? Are we going to be gozer? The Rabban going to be gozer when you're not miskavin lekli? Up to a case where you're miskavin lekli. I mean, the point is, you're not cutting it to make a toothpick. A toothpick is a kli. You're cutting it just to smell it. So we're going to be gozer that you're not even allowed to cut it to smell it. What? Lest you cut it to make a kli? That's the gezer over here. Maishna mehadetnan. Shover adam asachavis leachol mimena grogros v'lachol yiskavin lasos kli. When in Shabbos we learn that a person is allowed to break open a barrel to eat the grogros inside of the barrel, as long as his intention is not to make a kli when he breaks open the barrel. And we don't make any gzeira over there that he might come to do it to make a kli also. So over here, why when you're cutting a piece of wood just to smell, are we going to be gozer? Oh, you might come to cut it to make a toothpick also. No, you're just cutting it to smell. Why would we make such a gzeira over here? Va'odin, furthermore, harava baravada, v'ravan baravada, damri tarvayu, they both reported that kiavin and Rav Yehuda, that when they were by Rav Yehuda's house, have a mafshach v'yavlan alusa alusa, that he would gather wood from a tree that was cut already for them to smell the wood. Even though the wood was so hard that it could have been used as a handle of an axe. So apparently it was kushin, it was hardwood, which is usher to make a kli out of, and he allowed them to smell it. He allowed them to use it, he snipped pieces off to smell. So how can you say that you're not allowed to cut a piece of wood to smell, lest you come to be misakin kli? We have a maisa rav, the Rav Yehuda did it for his talmidim. So says Mar lo kasha. Harablazar harabanan. It's subject to the machlokas, Rablazar and Rabbanan. In our Mishnah, Titania, Rablazar omer notaladim kisein mishalfan of lachlos boshinav, v'chamram lo yital el meyavashal behema. The Brisa elaborates on the machlokas in our Mishnah, where Rablazar says that a person is allowed to take a splinter from his house to use as a toothpick, and the Chum say no, he's only allowed to take from the evashal behema, from the feeding trough. V'shavin shalo yiktamenu, but everyone agrees that you're not allowed to cut it. V'im katma lachlos boshinav, luchtoch. And if you actually cut it to make a kli out of it, so b'shogeg, if you did it b'shogeg, b'shabes chayev chatas, b'mezid, I'm sorry, the b'shogeg, yeah, b'shabes chayev chatas, b'mezid, if you did it b'mezid, b'yom tov sofeg es harbam, div rab lazar, anyant if you'd get malchus, meaning it's a real lister dal raisa to actually cut it into a kli. And the chum say, no, either way, it's only nisid rabbanan, meaning it is us, so you're not allowed to take this piece of wood and use it and cut it into a toothpick, but the question is it nisr da'oraisa or is it nisr da'rabanan? Now, if you hold that it's nisr da'oraisa to cut the kli into a toothpick, we can understand very well, to cut the wood into a toothpick, we can understand very well that there's room for the rabbanan to say, don't cut the wood to smell from it either, lest you come to violate a nisr da'oraisa. So Rav Lazar, the kamar hasam chayev chatas, hacha patra avlasir. Rav Lazar holds that your chayev chatas, when you take a piece of wood and you cut it into a kli, is going to hold that it's aser midrabanan to take a piece of wood and cut it for smelling. Rabbanan de kamri hasam patra avlasir hacha mutal lechachila. The rabbanan will say that it's only an isad rabbanan to cut the piece of wood into a kli. So then they're going to say they're not going to make an additional gzeir that you're not allowed to cut it to smell from it. So that's going to be even mutter lechachila. Meaning the mechanism we seem to be using over here is gzeira lechzeira, that the rabbanan are not going to make a gzeira lechzeira. So if the original thing that you're not not even allowed to cut it into a kli is a gzera. We're not going to make a gzera l'gzera. They're not even allowed to cut it to smell. We discussed on Tuesday night what the issue of gzera l'gzera is. Rashi assumes that gzera l'gzera is based on the pasuk v'asu mishmeres l'mishmarti v'lo mishmeres l'mishmeres. Rashi assumes it's a drasha midoraisa that the rabbanon are not authorized to make a gzera l'gzera. The rabbanon are told to make a mishmeres l'mishmarti, to make a mishmeres around the Torah, but not a mishmeres l'mishmeres. The Tashbetz, I believe it is, says differently. He says, no, gzera l'gzera is something that Rabbanan decided not to do. It's not something that they weren't authorized to do. They decided not to do it because if you don't put a limit on where you're going to make gzeros and how far your gzeros are going to go, then everything ultimately will be aser. You could just keep on making gzera, and if that activity is aser, I'll make another gzera to that activity, and another one, there will be nothing left that's mutter to do in the world. So the Rabbanan decided that we have to leave some things that are mutter to do in this world, so they decided not to make a gzera. Big nafkamina between Rashi and Tashbetz. Can they do it? Meaning, if they ever see fit to do it, are they authorized? Is it permissible? Meaning, according to Rashi, it's a violation of Baltosef Midaraisa to make a gzera l'gzera. Meaning, that assumes, if you assume like the Shittas of Rambam, the Rambam says, how are the Rabbanan ever allowed to make dinim? Isn't it a violation of Baltosef to make a new din? The Rabbanan can tell me, I'm not allowed to eat chicken and milk. Baltosef. It doesn't say that in the Torah. It's a violation of Baltosef. Says the Rambam, no. As long as they tell me that it's an Isser Rabbanan, it's not a violation of Baltosef. The Rabbanan are allowed to tell me, look, this is a siyag, this is a mishmeres that we're making, the Torah authorizes us to make a mishmeres. But if the Rabbanan were to tell us one day that you're not allowed to have chicken and milk, and the Torah says you're not allowed to have chicken and milk, that's Baltosef. So the Rambam understands that Takanos, Baltosef isn't just when in my personal behavior I add a fifth parsha to my tefillin, a fifth corner to my tefillin. No, Baltosef is even on a global level. When the Rabbanan are masakin a new din, if they lie to us about the nature of that din and they tell us it's daraisa, that would be Baltosef. So according to Rashi, it would turn out that if a chum make a gzera l'gzera, it's a violation of Baltosef midaraisa to make a gzera l'gzera. Parenthetically, the Ravid has a fascinating comment on that Rambam in the second parak of Mamrim, Halachat. The Ravid says, what do you mean that's Baltosef when the Rabbanan tell you that an Issa Drabbanan is really an Issa Daraisa? That's what a smachta is. That's all over Shas. The Rabbanan make an Issa Drabbanan and they say, look, it's a Pasuk. They're trying to fool us. They're trying to tell us it's an Issa Daraisa when it's really an Issa Drabbanan. That's the very definition of a smachta. The Ravid says it like it's such a Dover Pasuk. That's quite a Chiddush in how to understand a smachta. But that's the Ravid's understanding of a smachta. The Maril also has the same understanding of a smachta. Very unusual understanding. So says Gemara, Vales say the Rabbi Lazar had the Tanan. Does Rabbi Lazar not hold of that which we learn in the Mishnah that Shover Adam es Hachavis Lechol Mimena Grogros Obavat Shelo Yiskavin Lasos Kli, that you're allowed to break open a barrel to eat the Grogros inside as long as you don't have intention to make a Kli? But if you do have intention to make a Kli, you'd be Chayv Midoraisa. And yet the Rabbanan were not Gozer that you can't do it when you're not Miskavin Lasos Kli unto the case of a Doraisa. So how come over here they are Gozer? Meaning we're saying over here that if it's Nisa Daraisa to cut the piece of wood to make a toothpick out of, so then it's going to be Asher Midrabanan to cut it to smell. So why by the barrel it's Nisa Daraisa when you intend to make a kli, and it's not even Asher Midrabanan when you don't intend to make a kli? Amravashi Kitanya Hi Bemustaki. Now over there we're talking about a type of kli that's Ru'ua, that's a very shvacha kli. So there's no chance that you're ever going to be Miskavin Lasos kli. We're talking about a barrel that when you break it open, it's never going to be a viable kli, so there's no chance that you're going to come to make it a kli. Now, in describing what a mustaki is, Rashi has an interesting phrase. Rashi has a whole chadgadi over here about describing what a mustaki is, but on the bottom line he writes, Kach Amar Li Rabbi Shmuel Hamechuna Chassid. That's what Rabbi Shmuel, who people call a chassid, min Barbashta, from a town of Barbashta, that's what he told me. That's what I heard from this guy who's called a chassid. So Rav Chanan Wasserman says, you know, Rashi's not into wasting words. He doesn't say extra things. Why can't you just call him Rabbi Shmuel ha-chassid? Hamechun ha-chassid. That he's called a chassid. What do you mean he's called a chassid? Why can't you say that he's a chassid? So Rav Chanan says that just like there's an issur of Lashon Hara to say something negative about a person, it could be that being magdil mailas chavero yoser mikfisha hu be'emes. It could be that exaggerating a person's standing is also a violation of Lashon Hara, because anytime you damage someone with your speech, it's a violation of Lashon Hara. So one way to damage a person is by putting them down with your speech and people are going to look down on them. Another way to violate Lashon Hara might be by exaggerating what the person is. through your speech, because the person may, let's say, because of that, people will raise their expectations of him, and he's not going to be able to live up to those expectations. They'll give him a job that he's not qualified for. He's going to think he's more qualified than he is for certain things. People are going to tell him he's a Talmud Chacham, so he's going to start paskening halachos, and he's going to start, and he's not qualified. That's also a violation of Lashon Hara. But, says Rav Zilberstein in Chashukei Chemet, it follows all the normal Gedarim of Lashon Hara. So the halach by Lashon Hara is if there's a toeles, then you're allowed to do it. If someone is suffering from self-confidence, he was asked a case of a person that was suffering from a lack of self-confidence. So one of his neighbors printed up name tags on all the mailboxes in the apartment building, and on his he wrote, Harav. On this, because he wanted to give the guy a little boost. So he said, that's a toelas. If it's going to give the guy a little boost, if it's going to make him a little more confident, so that's a toelas. But that's Rav Elchanan's insight into Rashi, that hamachuna chassid. The last thing we have to discuss, Tosos over here, raises the question. The Gemara says that Rav Yehuda would cut the wood so that they could smell it. And Yantav, so Tosos says, Tosos just, once we're talking about smelling wood and besamim, Tosos says, why is it that when Yantav falls on Matzoy Shabbos, we don't have besamim on Matzoy Shabbos when Yantav is Sunday? Why is there no Besamim Matzoy Shabbos? So typically speaking, we have Besamim Matzoy Shabbos, Tosa says, because it's to take care of the Neshama Yisera that's leaving us. So he says, so you'd want to say, okay, so maybe there's a Neshama Yisera on Yantav as well. Tosa says, but that can't be. It can't be that there's a Neshama Yisera on Yantav, because then we'd use Besamim every Matzoy Yantav also. So it must be that there's no Neshama Yisera on Yantav, says Tosa, and that's why we don't use Besamim Matzoy Yantav. So why don't we use it on Matzoy Shabbos? On Matzoy Shabbos that leads into Yantav. So Tosfos says, yeah, there's no Neshama Yisera in Yantav, but the food of Yantav will satisfy us in place of losing the Neshama Yisera, so we don't need the Besamim. Rashbam holds there is a Neshama Yisera in Yantav. There's a famous var. I think they say the Sfasema says. Others also say it. I think Mariel Diskin maybe. Not Mariel Diskin. Kedushas Levi also says that the difference between Shabbos, that maybe there is a Neshama Yisera on Yantiv, but the Neshama Yisera on Shabbos leaves on Matzoy Shabbos. Neshama Yisera on Yantiv doesn't leave on Matzoy Yantiv, because Shabbos is kavua v'kayim, it's a gift from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Easy come, easy go. Yantiv, Klal Yisrael has to be kaveya. So if Klal Yisrael has to make it, something that we work to make, to establish, that doesn't leave us so quickly. So Kadosh Baruch Hu will give us the Neshama Yisera because we work to establish Yantiv. That Neshama Yisera stays with us forever. I think Rav Shor said that Vard. Tish when he was here, right?
Oh, yeah.